You're listening to the Overeaters Anonymous Mid-Peninsula podcast. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. For more information, please visit oamidpeninsula.org.
Anytime you want to start.
All right. Can you guys see my screen?
Yes.
All right. Technology. Hi, everyone. My name is Ifa Funke, and I am a compulsive overeater. And I've shared probably about 50 times in program. And I'm pretty nervous today because I'm sharing on step one. And it's like, well, I'm a compulsive overeater. What else is there to it? End of share. But here I am. And I'm very grateful to have the opportunity to share. I've been asking God what I should share on, and I guess I'll just share on my day and preface it by saying I came into OA very afraid and a lot of pain and very angry, but it was mostly fear, pain, and isolation. And I remember my first meeting was in downtown San Francisco, and then I kind of started going to more regular at the Marina Dock in San Francisco in the Marina District. And OA was like the first place where I heard people kind of not be so superficial or fake. Cause I always felt like, you know, I didn't quite fit in. So I fit in more than I've ever fit in before, but still not quite enough. Like I'd hear people share and oh, I can't share. Or I'd hear people have fellowship, or I can't do that. So it was just like a little bit. And back to today, I woke up today at 5 a.m. My church is doing 14 days of prayer and fasting. And first, the fact that I even go to church is a miracle. I'm just sharing my experience, strength, and hope. I used to always, I viewed organized religion as for people that couldn't think for themselves. That's how I was raised. And that's how I viewed organized religion. And the fact that I went to church and I want to go to church and I'm out that door in time because I want to actually pray with people is a miracle. One of my mother-in-laws, she's a very prayerful woman, and she wakes the family up every morning at 4:30 to have a prayer when I'm back home in Nigeria. And the first time I was like, wow, this is so fanatic. This is fanatical. And I'm like, wow, if I could be here every morning at 6 a.m., I would be. And then after church, I went to the gym. Oh, wait, I talked to people at church. That's another miracle. Because I used to be just so isolated and fearful and just feel like, excuse my language, but I've heard it said in OA before, I'm the piece of shit that the world revolves around. No one likes me, but everyone can see me. I talked to people and I was friendly, and I can be so afraid of people sometimes that I actually say a prayer before. So that helps a lot. And then I went to the gym where I have friends, which is another miracle. I go to the gym a lot. So caring about my physical health is a big deal. And then one of my issues that I'm dealing with the grace of God, is financial insecurity. So I have bills that pile up. I either don't check my emails, I don't pay them in time, so I end up paying double a lot of the time, sometimes. So there's a bill that I've neglected, not intentionally, but I could have been more aware of it. So I said, I'm going to sit down, God, and I'm going to deal with this bill. And it's funny because I was expecting a bunch of loopholes, a bunch of red tape, call this person, call that person. And I talked to one person and she was friendly and she was able to deal with it from start to end. And I got a rebate. So I bring all that up because through the grace of this program and through God's graces, I'm able to better live my life as like a whole being because I've done just it would seem like someone else, very small things today are very big things that I've learned to deal with life on life's term. I'm learning to deal with life on life's terms in OA. I am in no way perfect, but going to church, talking to people, having friends, being able to handle some things proactively and just sit and be with my feelings is a great testament to this program. They should say, come to OA and in 20 years you'll learn how to pay your bills on time. That's honestly what it takes sometimes. I came into OA in 20, 2006, winter 2006. And this is me at my top weight here. This is my senior year in college. And this is my senior graduation. I was probably around a size 26, well into 330, maybe 340 pounds. And I learned about OA. For me, it was by accident. By God, it was by God's graces, because I would not be alive today without OA. I would have either gotten in some kind of freak accident with food, like, reaching over to get something and I drive into another car or a wall or some kind of food coma. My compulsive overeating was so bad that I would just fall asleep in the middle of the day. And there was no doubt I was going to have like high blood pressure and diabetes by now. Or I would have killed myself because I was just that depressed. This is the first time in my life since probably the age of 14 where I actively haven't thought about killing myself at least once a week. And that says a great deal. So I came into OA by accident. An aunt of mine was eating fried fish. I'm so glad we can mention food here. And she'd lost like 60 pounds. And she was like, oh, I'm going to this program. And she said like FA or something. And I was like, huh, that's interesting. So something just clicked in my mind and said, I wonder, I have never heard of OA before. I wonder if there's a program called Overeaters Anonymous. So I searched it and the next day I found a meeting and I didn't even, I knew what bulimics and anorexics was. It was a meeting for bulimics and anorexics. And I was so heavy in the meeting that like the chair had seats in it. The chair I was sitting in had like arms. And it was just like buckling and the pressure on my legs. And I was the biggest person in the room. And that was probably the first time I felt like I was in my skin. Because it was other people talking about their relationship with food. And excuse me for cross-talking, but I really like my bizarre relationship with food, as someone said earlier, because that's exactly what it is. I'll never be able to understand it. I'll never get a grip on it without following a food plan and doing the steps. So I went to my first meeting. I was bewildered. I was completely bewildered. And fast forward, I spent the next 5 years doing it my way, over exercising, trying to be anorexic, trying to be bulimic, wasn't very successful with those. Gaining weight, losing weight, over exercising, like 3, 4 hours at the gym every day. And then one day, God gave me the willingness to try something else, which was in a meeting that I was going to, one of my home meetings in Oakland. It was they were promoting this 12 intensive 12 step. I think it's called a way of life, where you meet with other OA people for however long, and you work on one step at a time. And one of the prerequisites was that you have to have a sponsor. So, like I said, I'm perpetually different, even though I belong here for 5 years. I heard you guys keep saying steps. I heard you guys keep saying sponsors, but that just didn't apply to me because I was just too different. And I raised my hand. I got a sponsor. And on to step one, I don't think there's any newcomers here, but I tell anyone that will listen, no program works if you don't do the steps. It just doesn't work. You're just on your own volition trying to do it. And then you might last a week, a day, a month, a year, but it's gonna eventually crash and burn. It doesn't work without the steps and it doesn't work without fellowship. So I got my first sponsor. She told me to write a food history. And this is step one. And I wrote a poem to food and I wrote it in a spiral. And she was very stern. She said, what the hell is this? Go back and write a food history. And I wrote about the things food had cost me, about, my earliest memory of overeating was in Nigeria. My kids are trying to break in. Go back. I'm in a meeting. I was in Nigeria, and my mom's coworker had lost almost all her children, like three of her children out of four, in a car crash. And we were watching it on the news. And all I could think to do was go in the kitchen and drink condensed sugar, like sweetened condensed milk out of a can. And I remember someone walking in on me and the shame I felt. And in retrospect, I couldn't have done anything about it, but I'm sitting in a room watching someone who just lost their entire family. And I was probably 4 years old. I was born a compulsive overeater, but that was my first memory of having the shame about it. So I wrote about that. I wrote about I went to a quarter system, which I had to fly home every 10 weeks. And I got bigger and bigger in the seat until I had to have a seatbelt extension. And before that happens to you go, that'll never happen to me. That's crazy. Why would anyone ever let themselves get that big? And when you're spilling over into the next person's seat that they paid for, it's not only, it's a lot. It's unfair to them. It's unfair to you. It's just shame and embarrassment. I used to have people religiously yell things at me out of their car while they're driving. People regularly tell me, "You're too pretty to be so fat," like regularly, strangers all the time. People stop me in the street and go, like, "You're just too heavy." And if you're not a compulsive overeater, and if you don't have the knowledge that you're a compulsive overeater, it's just shame and embarrassment and anger. So before I wrote all these things down in step one, I just felt angry. Fuck the world. God, kids can hear me. I'm trying to work on cursing, but we'll save that for another day. Everyone's against me. They don't see the pain and torment that I come from. I was raised by alcoholics and drug addicts, practically raising myself. I've been working since I was 8 years old. And it just felt like this, like, hamster wheel to nowhere. Everyone got it. I didn't get it. And I bring up writing it down with another person because I felt all the anger, I felt all the fear, all the isolation. But until I write it down, can I see, oh, wow, this is my food history, and these are all the things that food has cost me. This is how I actually feel. Before, it was just this nebulous fear and anger and entrapment. Writing it down, not to say I was completely relieved of it, but I honestly, even at 340 pounds, I could not relate obesity, being disenfranchised, being isolated by other people. Then you isolate yourself, and then that leads to all this fear, anger, and resentment. I seriously could not see how A got to Z. I just knew I was fat, I think. And then it's just like oblivion from there. So writing down step one is imperative, and doing it with another person, because I can concretely see what my relationship is with food. And it's interesting. You never graduate from OA, and I pray that I never forget that, because I literally need a food plan to tell me what to eat every single day for every single meal. Otherwise, I will have some kind of feeling. I'll have some kind of lie to myself. One of my steps that I read out with one of my sponsors every day is I have to be honest about my eyeballs. And thank God for a scale, because my eyeballs will even lie to me. So admit that I'm powerless over food and my life had become unmanageable. Definitely admit that I'm powerless over food. That's kind of like, I don't, for me, it's not like a 100% thing. I have to repeatedly keep hearing step one to admit that I'm powerless over food and that my life had become unmanageable. I think I'm a pretty smart person. My life was entirely unmanageable. And the longer I'm in program, the more I can see other areas of my life that are unmanageable. So I got abstinent in, I want to say it was 2011, 2010, 2011. And then I was pregnant in 2019, and 2 months after that, pregnant again. So I was pregnant for all of 2019 and what felt like all of 2020. And being pregnant and on a food plan was very difficult because I live in a fat brain. I could be 130 pounds and I'd still see a fat person. And all I could think about the whole time I was pregnant was, oh my God, you're just gaining weight. I didn't really enjoy it. All I just saw was weight gain. And then I was pregnant again with twins. And how much more time do I have?
You've got 5.5 minutes. I'm just coming up on 5 minutes.
I don't know if I'll use the entire time, but so I was in OA. And then I had my twins, and 7 weeks after the twins were born, I lost my son. And I couldn't tell you the rhyme or reason for it, but if I hadn't found how within a few weeks of losing my son, I would have fallen off the deep end. Because I remember the night he died, it was about 3 in the morning, and I was on my knees outside looking at the sky. And I was so sure that I had asked God sternly enough, with enough sincerity, to not let my son die. And he died. Anyways. And, oh God, God is funny. I think I was talking about it in a meeting, and I'm probably getting the term, the phrase wrong, but there was someone in meeting that lost over 100 pounds, and she said, oh, I used to be a counselor for dead babies, a social worker for babies that basically that's what I heard. And I said, okay, you're in this HOW program. And God just gave me the willingness to ask for a bit more help. And then a couple weeks later, someone called me and invited me to their church. And I brought up church earlier because not in a million years on my own would you have caught me in church. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what people were talking about. All I saw was a bunch of phonies. And then someone in HOW invited me to church. And HOW is honest, open-minded, and willing. So I said, let me try out this open-mindedness thing. Yeah, I'll go to church. And then the same day, someone invited me to another church. And then I went to 2 churches in one day. Mind you, this was not my characteristics. And I haven't stopped going since. And this isn't like a plea to tell you to go to church. But God brought me in a little bit closer because I needed a lot of help and gave me the willingness to ask for that help and to see spirituality in a different way. So I'm grateful for that. Today, another miracle, I was in the sauna at the gym and I was talking to this woman. And it's funny, I live in the suburbs, so people tell you their whole life story within 5 minutes. And she's like, oh, I'm a grandmother now. And she's been seeing me for some time. We never talked before. And my son, my great grandson, within a year, after his 1 year birthday, he got leukemia. And it's a 3 year of chemo, that a 3 year like process. And then my other grandson just turned 1. And the day after he found out that he got leukemia, and all we could say was, we just trust God. And that's all I could say. And pray for her and pray with her. And I don't know what the outcome's gonna be, but I've come a long way. Thank you.
If you've enjoyed listening to the Overeaters Anonymous podcast, hit the like button and subscribe to receive future episodes. If you are looking for a meeting online or in person, visit www.oamidpeninsula.org.